This'll be fun. Right in the front row. We'll see how this goes. Well, if the last 3 months have taught us anything, they've taught us that we've bought into a lot of lies. As I think about this, I realize that sin came into the world through believing in and acting upon a lie, and we currently are just following in Adam and Eve's footsteps. We currently live in what is called, in the Cambridge Dictionary, a post-truth society. This is one in which the truth is not relevant, and only feelings and confirmation biases matter. And this has made a colossal mess. Russian communist revolutionary Vladimir Lenin said, "A lie told often enough becomes a truth." English novelist and essayist George Orwell said, "In a time of deceit-telling, the truth is a revolutionary act." Wesleyan minister and all-around troublemaker Jackie McNeil said, "We live in a time where telling the truth is as dangerous as holding a stick of lit dynamite." In today's culture, telling the truth is the only unacceptable speech left. We live in a world where truth tellers are punished and liars may lie as much as they want as long as it fits a certain ideology. There have been so many lies spread about the coronavirus that nobody knows what to believe anymore. Last week, Harvard University admitted that the virus was probably roaming around China since last August. Yes, I said last August, almost a year ago. One of the biggest prevaricators about the coronavirus is the World Health Organization. It's the same shady organization that covered up for China letting the virus escape from the Wuhan lab. On Monday, the organization said asymptomatic spread of the virus is very rare. On Tuesday, they said, well, it's kind of rare. 3 months' worth of virology studies verify their Monday statement as true and their Tuesday statement as mathematically false. The medical and science community now say that hydroxychloroquine probably does help treat the virus. And did we say that herd immunity wouldn't be effective? Oops, our bad. The Washington Times ran an article that said the new coronavirus is real. The response to the coronavirus is hyped. And in time, COVID-19 will go down as one of the political world's biggest, most shamefully overblown, overhyped, overly and irrationally inflated, and outright deceptively flawed responses to a health matter in the United States history. What this means is our government, from the highest office in the land down to the smallest, and please, let's not let the media off the hook. These have all shoveled enough horse manure to fertilize America's corn crops for a decade. And as long as I'm holding a lit stick of dynamite, socialism is not a wonderful way to fix all of our wrongs. We are told that even though every other country who has tried it in the history of the world has failed miserably, America, we can do it right. Is America truly the only country capable of achieving perfect socialism? The looting that has been happening in our major cities is a visual aid of the redistribution of wealth, which, by the way, is a hallmark of socialism. From my perch, it's not looking very promising. We are also told that socialism does not lead to communism. It most certainly does. People say, well, what about Sweden? Well, there's another lie. Sweden is not a socialist country. It's a capitalist country. Please don't take my word for it. Look it up. Nothing has killed as many people as socialism and communism in the history of the world, except for human disease. We are told that Black Lives Matter. That's not even close to being true. Nobody wants to bring up the dirty little secret that those who have been killed and injured in the nationwide riots have been mostly Black. And let's not tell, please, let's keep this a secret too, that the property and businesses that have been destroyed have been mostly Black owned. Do Black lives matter? The only Black lives that seem to matter are the ones who subscribe to a certain ideology. The black lives of police officers that have been lost in the riots, they don't matter. You can't even find pictures of them unless you search way back in Google's shoe closet. Does anyone care that a real hero, he was 77 years old, Captain David Dorn, was shot in the back of the head by looters? He had hundreds of mourners at his funeral, too, but the nationwide news media was silent. How about Ahmaud Arbery? Oh, he was a jogger who was gunned down by a white father and son. And most of us go, who? He doesn't matter. What about the 19 million black lives that have been murdered at the hands of Planned Parenthood? They don't matter. The black lives that are lost due to gang violence here, especially in Chicago, they don't matter. All of this makes me shudder to think that maybe, in the long run, our grandchild's black life isn't going to matter either. But the facts tell us that black lives matter, but only some, and certainly not all. In 2018, Psychology Today breathlessly printed this article, "Iceland Cures Down Syndrome." Woo! What a miracle! CBS News proudly reported Down syndrome in Iceland has almost disappeared. These were bald-faced lies. The reason there is little to no Down syndrome in Iceland is because when the parents get prenatal screening, which, by the way, is a law, you must get it, because if you have a baby with Downs, the baby is aborted. Lies. Tell me sweet little lies, and pass me the dynamite. Lies are a dime a dozen in the American news media and social media. Whenever I watch the news, and by the way, when I watch the news, it's snowing in the Sahara, because when I watch the news, I think immediately, I am being lied to. It's disgusting to me to see how many of these platforms have devolved into relying on cheap and nasty lies. They tell one lie after the other, and they are shameless, even if they get caught. All they do is tell another one, hoping that somebody will believe this one because they didn't believe the first one. We have sunk to a new low where the truth is anathema, and the public is just supposed to saddle right up next to the lie and give it a big, juicy kiss. Throughout history, there have been a lot of big old liars. Among them are Baron Munchausen. Munchausen was an 18th century German nobleman who made up long tales, also known as lies, about his exploits on the battlefield. His name has now become associated with liars. Ever hear of Munchausen's by proxy? That's the guy. There are some famous lies out there that most of us will remember, and not only do we remember them, but we will remember who said them. Remember this one? Cigarette smoking is no more addictive than coffee, tea, or Twinkies. This was said by James W. Johnston, CEO of RJR Nabisco. How about this one? I'm gonna try to imitate it. Ready? I am not a crook. How did I do? Not good? That was Nixon. You all know that. Now this one. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. You know who that was. Or this one. You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Now that was Satan himself. Lying. It's a spiritual pandemic. Studies show that we are lied to at least 10 times a day, and if you turn on the news, that goes up exponentially. And we ourselves tell a lie on an average of 1 to 2 times a day. Strangers lie to each other 3 times within the first 10 minutes of meeting. By the time someone is in college, they will lie to their mother 1 out of every 5 interactions. We lie more to strangers than we do to people we know. Extroverts tend to lie more than introverts. So if you're an introvert, feel a little proud of yourself. Men lie more about themselves than they do other people, and women tend to lie to protect other people's feelings. We recoil when we hear how prevalent lying is in our culture. But if you look closely, it gets even worse. The more intelligent, the bigger the brain of the species, the more likely they are to rely on lying in a habitual way. You remember Coco the gorilla? That was a gorilla that a zoo, I forget the name of the zoo, took into captivity, put her into a little room, and taught her sign language. You remember this? Well, they gave her a pet kitten. And in the middle of all of the rambunctiousness that went on in this little room, the gorilla pulled the sink out of the wall. And when she was asked, vis-a-vis sign language, who did that, she blamed the kitten. If a smaller-brained gorilla can lie, just think what larger-brained humans can do. Lying is complex. It's woven into the fabric of our psyches due to our sin natures. We are deeply ambivalent about the truth. We will say we are against lying, even though we are covertly for it. It is not unusual for people to believe someone, even when they have evidence as to why they shouldn't. An example of this would include parents whose kid says that they're not on drugs. Well, they take his word for it, even though they just found his stash in his sock drawer. We recoil at the truth because it challenges our thinking. We do not like our deeply held views to be challenged because the truth affects us. It forces us to alter our positions, our passions, and our actions. Why in the world do we believe people even when we have substantial evidence proving that they are lying to us? Frankly, it's simply because we want to believe the lie, especially if the liar is emotionally or psychologically important to us. This is why we will believe obvious baloney from politicians. It's because their lies are psychologically and emotionally important to us. If we come to the point where we finally accept that we're being lied to, the emotional pain is crippling. To protect ourselves from this pain, we allow ourselves to be lied to long after the truth has been revealed. Truth, today, like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder. Call it whatever you want. Political correctness, relativism, personal perspective, revisionism, your truth, my truth, that's my favorite. Whatever your code words are, the absence of truth is endemic. It means it's everywhere embedded into society. It's laughable when the mainstream media claims to be on a relentless pursuit of truth. Trust in the truthfulness of the national media has never been lower. We cannot believe the newspapers and what news programs are telling us. Increasingly, people like me turn to alternative sources in our desperate quest for the truth, in hopes that we will finally find it. The repression of truth has caused a serious moral decay and an intolerance of those who speak the truth. There can't be any more honest debate on social issues. On social media sites, the one who dares express the truth at best is made into a pariah, and at worst, he loses his job or she loses her business. In an age of lies, we struggle to discover the truth. We can't even depend on lie detectors. They aren't generally admitted into court because they don't really know the truth either. They can usually detect your level of anxiety, but they don't always know if you're lying. What has caused this vacuum of truthfulness? The Bible tells us exactly what has caused it. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith, for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The rejection of the gospel is what has caused this deadly vacuum of truth. There is an absolute need for the gospel of Christ because without it, human beings naturally devolve and become corrupt. We cannot be saved. We cannot be rescued by any of our own good deeds, or even if we decide we're going to tell the truth. The gospel is our only saving grace because it reveals the truth of God. The truth of the gospel is so important that Romans 1:18 tells us that God's anger is directed toward those who suppress it. for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Reading on in this chapter, we know that God wants us to know the truth. He isn't playing hide and go seek with it. He has made the truth known to us. Romans 1, 19 and 20. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have clearly been perceived. Since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Once we ignore the truth of God, Romans 1, 21 through 24 tells us that we embrace the lie. And what lie is that? The lie that human sexuality has no boundaries and is not sacred. This leads to abject paganism and idolatry. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they came futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, who is to be worshipped and served over the Creator. And he is blessed forever. Amen. The whole of Romans 1 paints a grim picture of the perils of our ignoring the truth of God. And it's a slippery slope. The more of God's truth that we ignore, the more immoral we become. When there is no more truth left, there will also be no morality left. You might have heard the phrase, the gospel truth. When somebody says the gospel truth, what they mean is, you can bet the farm on it. This term dates back to the Middle Ages, when Christianity was the dominant religion of the Western civilization. The great English poet of the Middle Ages, Chaucer, used gospel in many of his writings to mean incontrovertible truth. The word gospel is a conglomeration of an old English word, godspell, which meant good tidings. Godspell is now pronounced gospel, and it was used to signify the glad tidings or the good news preached by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels because they contain the good tidings or the good news of salvation. Thus, gospel truth literally means something that is true as what is contained in the Gospels. Without the gospel truth, America, as we know it, will cease to exist. No upright society has lasted forever without the gospel truth. In America, the truth barely has a pulse. Opinions, subjective facts, out-and-out lies, and mercurial feelings are suffocating the truth. Truth can be resuscitated, but it will be hard work, and it will be costly. This sermon is my flimsy attempt at giving the truth a little CPR. But it's going to take more than just me to resuscitate the truth. It's going to take every one of you, too. We all need to be accountable to know what the truth is. We all need to suppress lies and, for heaven's sake, stop repeating them. We also need to not worship at the idols that we are being asked to worship in this day and age. We must, every single one of us, hold forth the gospel truth if we want to see America survive. The truth is going to need an electric shock. The electric shock is a return to the gospel. John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free." The truth Jesus speaks here is not a generalized truth. It is the specific, blow-by-blow truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is what will set us free from the lies we have bought into. Lies have become our prisons. We are held hostage by them. And the only way out of our lie prisons is a liberal application of the gospel truth. I stand here today with a lit stick of dynamite. I am fully aware, and I'm fully aware when I started writing this thing, it was not going to be popular. I do not care. I don't care. The truth needs to be spoken. And so I stand with a lit stick of dynamite, and I'm asking you to do the same.